the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord, we beseech thee, let thy continual pity cleanse and defend thy church, and because it cannot continue in safety without thy succor, preserve it evermore by thy help and goodness, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. That collect for today, my brothers and sisters, is a very humble prayer for God's mercy. That prayer says, let thy continual pity cleanse and defend thy church. Now we confess that the church cannot stand in her own strength. We cannot stand in our own strength. Left to ourselves, we are weak, we are vulnerable. Left to ourselves, we are prone to error. But by God's continual pity, by his unchanging mercy, we are cleansed from sin and preserved by his goodness. So, the Christian life, both individually and corporately, is sustained not by our power, but by his grace. Not by our power, but by his grace. So this theme of God's mercy and strength is carried throughout the lessons appointed for this, the 16th Sunday after Trinity. If we should look at the Old Testament lesson for today, it is from Isaiah 12. From the Old Testament, Isaiah 12 offers a song of praise. Isaiah says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is my salvation. Isaiah. These words, my friends, are not only Israel's hymn of thanksgiving and deliverance, but it is the song of the church in every generation. Generations past, this generation, and generations to come. God himself is our salvation. God and God alone is our salvation. He does not merely provide salvation. God is salvation. God is salvation. So to trust in him, therefore, is to stand secure. Do we want security? We must trust in him. Yet, the prophet Isaiah also reminds us that this salvation brings joy and proclamation. Listen to what Isaiah says from chapter 12. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. The mercy of God is never meant to be hoarded, but shared. To know his salvation is to call upon his name. To know his salvation is to call upon his name, to declare his deeds, to make his works known among people. So, what is it? It is both a comfort and a commission. To know the salvation of God is a comfort and it is a commission. In the epistle for today from Ephesians 3, St. Paul prays that the faithful would be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in their hearts by faith, that they may be rooted and grounded in love. Let us notice, my friends, that Paul does not pray for outward success. Paul does not pray for worldly strength. Paul prays for the inward work of God's Spirit. True stability in the Christian life comes not from outward circumstances, but from the indwelling of Christ in the heart and the grasp of his immeasurable love. That is what we call spirituality. What is your spirituality? As Anglicans, what is our spirituality all about? And as I prepared my sermon yesterday, this is what I'm going to preach at Judge Myrtle's funeral next week, Sunday evening, about her spirituality, because she said to me, as a judge of the family courts over the years in Jamaica, this is what motivated her to take care of families and abandoned children, her spirituality. True stability in the Christian life comes not from outward circumstances, but from the indwelling of Christ in the heart and the grasp of his immeasurable love. St. Paul, in today's epistle, speaks of the breadth, the length, the depth, the height of the love of Christ. He stretches human language to its breaking point. For the love of Christ surpasses knowledge. Okay? The love of Christ surpasses knowledge. And yet, this is the love that fills the church and preserves the church, just as the collect for today prays. It is this love that strengthens us when outward trials would overwhelm us. So many trials and challenges overwhelm us, don't all of us? But it is the love of Christ that strengthens us when outward trials would overwhelm us. And finally, in the gospel for today, from St. Luke chapter 7, we witness a very powerful demonstration of Christ's mercy. We witness a very powerful demonstration of Christ's authority over life and death. As Jesus enters the city of Nain, he meets a funeral procession, a widow mourning her only son. She was doubly bereft. She was without a husband, and now she was without child. She was destitute. She was hopeless. She was utterly broken. Yet, it is precisely in her grief that the mercy of Christ Jesus is revealed. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, "Weep not." Then, with a word of divine power, he commands, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus delivered him to his mother. Here, my friends, we see the Lord's pity. Remember they call it pity. Here we see the Lord's pity in action. The same continual pity for which We prayed in the collect. He cleanses, he restores, he raises the dead. Let me repeat. He cleanses, he restores, he raises the dead. This miracle at Nain is not only an act of compassion for a grieving mother, it is a sign of the greater truth of the gospel. What is the greater truth of the gospel? That Christ is the resurrection and the life. His pity is not temporary relief, but eternal salvation. In him, death itself is undone. In him. So, my dear friends, what do these lessons teach us today? Every Sunday we come here, we must carry something away from the sermon as we start for the week. What do these lessons teach us today? First, they remind us that our dependence on God's continual pity, we cannot preserve ourselves, but he sustains us. Second, they show us that salvation is not our achievement, but God himself, who is our song and our strength. And third and last, they teach us that Christ's love surpasses all knowledge, and that his mercy extends even to the grave, giving life where there is death. Therefore, my friends, let us pray today with humility and confidence. Humility, because we all know our weakness and sin. Confidence, because we know his pity never fails. Let us trust with Isaiah that God is our salvation. Let us pray with Paul to be rooted in Christ's love. And let us rejoice with the widow of Nain that Christ has power over death itself. In the name of God the Father, the Son,